I tell you, it to know that God is there for us and with us. And some of you are not going to believe the statement, but he likes you as well as love you. He's on your side. And the times that you feel like he's not there, well, the problem is you're going by feeling instead of what he says in his word. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. Your feelings will let you down. So go to the facts, what God says about it all. There's a little boy in church. His name was Johnny. Johnny was a young lad. And there was these two older kids that were poking fun at him. And this is what they did. They said, Johnny, here's a nickel and a dime. And they'd put it, you can have one of them. And Johnny took the nickel. I guess because it was bigger. And so week after week after week, these two kids made fun of him, and they'd have other people come, other kids come, and they would laugh at him. And week after week this went on. And the pastor caught wind of it, and so he watched one day. And sure enough, they put a dime and a nickel, and Johnny, you can have one of those, which one you want? And he would take the nickel. And the kids would laugh. And the pastor felt bad. He felt really bad for Johnny. And so he went to Johnny after watching it a couple times. He said, Johnny, I want to tell you something. He said, those kids are teasing you. He said, they have a nickel and a dime, and you always take the nickel. And Johnny said, yeah. And the pastor said, well, Johnny, the nickel is worse, is less than a dime. He said, well, I know that. But I have $3.55 now. Hey, Danny, do me a favor. There's another mic thing right there in the front, in the middle. Right in the middle. No, Danny, in the middle. You see it there? Bring it to me, would you? Just a little technical difficulty. I know I can do it. Okay, are we on? All right. Huh? Okay, let's get with the program because time is getting away and we're going to have communion this morning. Hey, I was thinking the other day, and I do from time to time, my mind wanders as I pray or I'm thinking or I'm listening to music. My mind wanders, and I think back of people who were great in my life. Do you ever do that? Do you ever think about them that's gone? They've passed away, they're gone, and sometimes they're very nostalgic to me, and maybe I'll even weep and cry. And I do that about my brother from time to time, as he had such an impact in my life. And other men and women who had incredible impact in my life. And most of them, I can only think of one, most of them have gone to be with the Lord. And I think about that and how rich they made my life. I mean, do you have people like that who were great in your life? And let me tell you about these people There's something that they all had in common, every single one of them. I was thinking about this week. Oh, yeah. And I just, as I thought about, every single one of them had something in common. And you know what that was? They served me. They served me. They did things on my behalf. They loved me in a way that it took time, it took energy, it took money to serve Dave Manning. And I'm so very grateful. Do you have people like that? I want to talk about that this morning, about great people. Great people in the Bible, great people in your lives. And to see that common thread about greatness is there were servers. That's what they did. I mean, there's a lot of people in the Bible that, well, we would think, well, they're great. And the Bible talks about a few of them, great people. But a lot of them that did great things, he called them good, not great. I'm talking about God called them good, not great. But there are others that he said they were great, great people. Now, let me just do a side thing here. At my funeral, don't say he was a good man. I really don't want you to say that. If you can't say I'm a great man, just don't say anything. I'm playing. Anyway, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at a couple individuals in the Old Testament. I'm going to muddy the water a little bit and what the Bible says about them. And then I'm going to go to the New Testament, and I'm going to make it perfectly clear of what I said in the Old Testament. So in your notes, you have the first person that I want to talk about, and that's the Shunammite woman. An amazing story about this woman. She was a woman that Elijah would come by, and she knew that he was a mighty man of God. And so she helped him. She would feed him, give him drink. She would take care of him. And as he was coming by more often, she even built a little area for him to stay, because she saw he was a mighty man of God. And it says about her now in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, verse 8. And one day Elisha went to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived, who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there and eat food. And she said to her husband, "Behold, now I know that this is a holy man of God who continually passing our way. Let us make a small room for him." This is what I was telling you about. "Let him make a small room for him on the roof and the walls, and put there for him a bed, a table, and a chair, and a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in there." And so they did this. Now that was pretty nice. That was pretty nice in what they did. But it's interesting. This is the ESV, by the way. It's interesting how they translated that one part. And the first verse there, verse 8, "One day Elisha went to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived." Now, it's interesting. Now, I have a tool on my little phone here. It's a Bible tool. You probably don't have it because it cost me a little bit of money. Not a whole lot, like 20 bucks. But in this tool that I have, I can read the Bible, and then what does that mean? And I can press on that word, and up will bring the Greek word, or the Hebrew word. In this case, it's the Hebrew word. And I can read the meaning, and then I can go, and I can click on another thing on that, and it will give me every verse of that Hebrew word, and I can read and see the context. Okay, what's the meaning of it all? Do you know this word here, wealthy? She was a wealthy woman. It's like I couldn't figure out what they should call her, because she was a wealthy woman. But do you know that word that is used for wealthy woman everywhere else except one other place I won't point out? It's called great. That's the translation, great. She was a great woman. Well, so they were probably looking at this, well, wait a minute, great woman. There wasn't anything special about her. She didn't do anything great. Why is he calling her a great woman? She didn't raise the dead. She didn't open the seas. She didn't kill lions. She didn't kill a giant. She didn't do anything great. So it must be that she was great. Well, she had great wealth. Now, I don't know if that's their thinking, but for some reason, they put this word wealthy, a wealthy woman, when that's not the meaning of that word. And some other translations got it right. And I almost don't want to tell you this because it will make Doug feel so good. But the authorized version used the word great there. The only authorized version. And so I'm thinking that word means great. She was a great woman. There's other places that they use that term for the man or woman. They were great. Not very many times. A great woman. She didn't do any great exploits, but the Bible calls her a great woman. Now look at the other scripture there in 2 Samuel. Barzillai. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. Listen to this. Now, Barzillai, the Gileadite, had come from the Rogelin, and he went with the king to Jordan to escort over to Jordan. Now, the king was David. Now, what had happened here? David is fleeing Absalom. Absalom, his son, has taken over the kingdom, and David is running away. And his heart is broken that Absalom has done this and did some horrible things to his wives. And I mean, it's just a horrible scene. He's running away. Well, this guy, along with some other guys, came out to David and brought him food and clothing and brought a bunch of stuff to him. And so this Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old. I tell you, you don't get too old to do things for God. You don't retire from serving God. A very aged man, 80 years old, he had provided the king with food while he stayed in Mahanaim, for he was a very wealthy man. I laugh. Now, this word is the same word as a Shunammite woman, word, wealthy. And the same word that everywhere else is translated great, for he was a great man. And again, I think that they must have thought, well, wait a minute, what did he do? He didn't do any kind of exploit, so it can't be great like we think of great. It must be because he was wealthy, and so called him a wealthy man. That's not the real translation. He was great in the eyes of God. He was great because God says he was great. And why was he great? Because he served. He served David. And it's interesting to note, if he was so wealthy, why did David say to him in verse 33, and the king said to Barzillai, come over with me and I'll provide for you with me in Jerusalem. If he was so wealthy, why did he need to be provided for? Now, I'm just muddying the water in the translation, okay? Because what makes these people great? So let's go to the New Testament. Let's clarify it. There in Mark 9, 30 to 33. And I want to read the first part here in verse 30, which doesn't really have to do with the teaching that Jesus is going to do. But it tells you something about the disciples and where they were. They went on from there and passed from Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples and saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. But they did not understand the saying and were afraid to ask him. They didn't get the whole purpose and reason why Jesus came, to give his life. And he had said this many times before and will say it many times after. Either spiritually they couldn't get it, or they weren't really listening, but they didn't get it. And then they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, what were you talking about in the way, or discussing in the way? When they kept silent, for on the way they argued with one another about who was the greatest. Who's the greatest? Who's going to be the great one? I mean, Jesus, you know, you've called us, and there's 12 of us, and you're going to take over the kingdom, and we're going to be part of the kingdom. Which one of us, you know, will be at your right hand, and which one at your left? Who's going to be the greatest? You know, they're almost like Muhammad Ali. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest. And so there was this attitude that they have of being greatest. Listen to what Jesus says, and most of us know this. And so he called the 12, and he said to them, this is the second part of 35, if anyone would be first, he'll be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him to his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Let me tell you what he's talking about. He says to the disciples, you want to be the greatest? Well, let me tell you who's going to be the greatest. The one who's going to serve. And the one's going to be like a little child and serve others, or serve the child. If you want to be greatest in the kingdom, you're going to be the servant of all. The greatest in the kingdom is going to be the one who will serve everyone. That is what these two, the Shunammite woman, and the Barzillai, that's what they did. That's their whole thing in the Bible, is they served other people. Now, it is good to note that there was great blessing that came with that. I'm not going to talk about that, but there was great blessing that came to these people because they served these great men of God, or these good men of God, or these leaders of God. You want to be great? You want to have an importance? You learn to serve. You learn to serve everyone. I want to tell you a story that I read some time ago, and I refreshed it recently. I don't know if you know the name Jack Hiles. Anybody ever hear that name, Jack Hiles? He was a pastor in the 60s, 70s, 80s. He had the largest church in the United States at that time. Thousands of people. It's before they had mega churches. And Jack Hiles told the story when he was a child, and he went to church. 5 years old, goes to church, and a little lady took him and said, hey, you want to go to Sunday school? And he said, yes. What's your name, young man? And the mother had to tell him, Jack Hiles. His name's Jack. And can I call him Jackie Boy? Jackie Boy? And the mom says, yeah, you can call him Jackie Boy. Anyway, that name, Jackie Boy, he grew up in that church, and the whole church from that point on called him Jackie Boy. Jackie Boy. And he went into the Sunday school class. Now, you got to realize, this was in 1932, so a long time ago. And he goes into the church, into the Sunday school class, and he doesn't own any shoes, doesn't have any shoes. The pants that he has had holes in them that his mom put patches over them. He had a shirt that was torn and ripped and buttons missing. He goes into Sunday school class, and all these kids were lined up, and they all had ties on and white shirts. And he was embarrassed. And this teacher said to him, "Jackie boy, do you know that Jesus loves you?" Now, he had only heard that from one person. That was his mom. His mom was the only one that ever told him that Jesus loved him. And the teacher said, and "Jackie boy, I love you too." He had only heard one other person say that, his mother. "I love you." And Jackie boy said to him, "Would God love me even though I don't have any shoes? Would he love me even though I don't look like those guys and how they're dressed?" Huh. And he said the teacher leaned over to him and he said, Jackie boy, "I think God might love you more." Now that's significant. Excuse me. That touches me. So they started going to that church. Thanksgiving comes. And mom and dad had separated. He was an alcoholic. And somewhat abusive, I guess. And it was Thanksgiving. And Mama was looking for something to eat. And she opened the cupboards on Thanksgiving Day. And there wasn't anything there. And she opened one cupboard and there was one potato. So she took that potato out and she sliced it up. And she had some old grease from bacon. I know it's going to make some of you hungry. Sliced that potato up. She put that in the grease and cooked it. She took it off and put it in front of Jackie. And she said, "God, now Jackie, let's pray. God loves you. God, you see, this is all we have. But I thank you for what we have." And then she began to pray for Jackie boy. She said, "My boy, God's a good boy. And he loves you, you know he does." I'm so emotional over this story. And she said, "And God, don't let him starve. He's a good boy. It's not his fault that his daddy is not with us and is alcoholic." She called him a drunkard, I think. And just then, there was a knock on the door. There was that church. And they had a whole turkey dinner for him. Jack Hiles, said it was the first time he ever ate turkey for Thanksgiving. And then he went in and he says, "You know, in that church, it was a lot of the first times. It was the first time that I ever received a Christmas gift was from that church. The first time that he was ever picked to play baseball because that church had a baseball team. And they said, Jackie boy, come and play with us." He said, "In fact, most of my life, that church did the first in my life." And you know, it was because people were serving Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that because we have a lot of stuff going on. In fact, right here today, we have a lot of great people who are serving and serving other people. a lot of great people that I have a lot of respect for and a lot of gratefulness for. I mean, people who are just doing things, they don't get paid for it. Like Will would say, they're good for nothing. They're just good people, we would say. But God says something different. He calls them great people because they're serving. The greatest in the kingdom are those who serve other people. And we have some great people. We're entering into this, and we're full swing now into our ministry season that we call it. And we don't do some of this stuff all year round because we're in for a long battle. We're in for a long term. We want to serve God and touch people's lives for the rest of our lives, and we need times of rest. That's why some things we take off for the summertime, like Awana. Right now, this morning, there are people serving who aren't in this service. They're out with children in the nursery. People are doing things for God and serving other people, and they don't get paid for it. I'm the only one that gets paid. Guess I'm not a great person. But I'm a good man. And I'd like all those that are working out there to stand, but they're out there so they can't stand. But we have people that are doing things that I think sometimes we take for granted. And boy, we need to be grateful for people who are serving. People are doing things. Do you think the greeters are doing it because they get a lot of pats on the back? I don't think so. They're just doing something for God. Now, I want to take a couple minutes. Oh, time has gone. I took too long with that story. Oh, my gosh. We're going to go through this rapidly. I want all the greeters to stand. Stand up. Now, don't be embarrassed or ashamed or backward. Stand up. Are you standing, Chris? Okay. Stand up. Hey. You're great people. Let's thank them. Go ahead and be seated. Be seated. There's kind of a new ministry, and I don't know who's all involved with it, but those who, I didn't even know the name till this last week. Kindness Closet, do I got that right? Those that are involved with that, stand. Kendra, who else? Over here. Yeah. Now what they do, they're feeding and clothing and helping the homeless. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you. Hey, we need you. You're great, and we need you. And I thank God for you. I am blessed by what you're doing. You had the worship team. We've already acknowledged them. Well, week after week, they come early. And we need you. And let me tell you, you're great in the kingdom. Men's ministry. Those leaders who are part of the men's ministry, stand up real quickly. We want to thank you. Look, and there's a few others. Thank you, guys. You're important, and we need you. Thank you. Jules, where's your ladies? They're not even, they're probably serving somewhere. Let's have the Jules leadership stand. Is it just you, Pam? Okay, who's standing? Candy? Anyone else? Okay, thank you. We need you. You're great in the kingdom. Awana, was that right, 100 kids? There's 100 altogether. Between Rowdy and Awana, 100 kids on Wednesday night. I didn't even go there. Like I said, I'm not great, I'm just good. Let's have all the leaders of Awana and Rowdy stand. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Let me tell you, you're great. And we need you. The kingdom needs you. And it's important what you do. Listen, I'm telling you, every once in a while I come on a Wednesday night and people just don't, people take people for granted. And I don't. I want you to know that. And I walk through the doors and there's these two ladies. I'm not going to point you out. Don't want to embarrass anybody. But two ladies, they've been there for years and just serving and helping the kids and doing documentation and stuff. Let me tell you, you're great in the kingdom. I know sometimes we don't feel like it, but don't go by feeling. Go by what God says, and he calls us great, great people. We have the Fight Club, the Good Fight. Sheesh. We're going to change the name to Good Fight if I can ever do it. The Good Fight. Let's have all the leaders stand in the Good Fight. Just stand up. Thank you for your, thank you, thank you, thank you. You can be seated. Now, some of you don't realize, but on Tuesday, and we start the 24th at the Fight Club, and that's serving. Everyone that goes, you're serving, because let me tell you, it's a spiritual warfare, and we're seeking God, and we're doing things that the enemy hates. And we're doing it on our knees and before God. And we have childcare. And let's have all of those that are doing the childcare on He did it last year. Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Sir, where is everybody? Wait a minute. There are a bunch of Awana people. Go ahead and be seated. I'm playing around. Sarah's the only one. And we need help. We need help. And let me tell you, if you're not doing anything, come on. I don't want to become arrogant or pushy, but oh, let me be pushy. Because let me think about, hey, those of you that are going to do communion, come on up here real quick because we're going to make haste, okay? Thank you. Quit being so arrogant, though. Now, and self-righteous. That's what I want to be careful of. But honestly, if you're not doing something and serving other people, you're missing not only a blessing, but God is doing something in your life that'll be special that you can't get any other way. I'm just telling you. And you just need to get out of your selfishness. You just got to get out of it. Oh, wait a minute. You're not serving yet, are you? Hold it. Okay, let me explain this. It's different. You take one. You just take this, okay? And it's got two cups on it, okay? You pull the cup and you got the cracker in there. Is that not brilliant? Okay. Now when we take it, you don't fish out the cracker. You don't go in, you just throw it in your mouth. Don't be doing this. You can't get it that way very easily. Now, some of you are trying it already. I know. I can do it. Just keep it. Now, I really don't want to bring condemnation. I really don't. And that's not why I'm saying about serving. But maybe to open up an avenue to you. Do something for God and serve. I tell you, how could we do anything less? Jesus, who was God and created everything, stepped out of heaven. Why did he do that? And the Bible says that he served us. He gave his life for us. And he taught the disciples, he washed their feet, showing them, I'm here to serve. Now you serve one another. And let me tell you, we take the emblems because we're part of the body of Christ and we're in this together. This kingdom work, this kingdom stuff, we're in it together. And we all need to participate and become part of the body. Do God stuff and serve in some way. I don't mean to run some of you off by my antics, but I feel sober and emotional when I think about those who served me unselfishly. And it's overwhelming as I begin to get a little more and a little more understanding what Jesus has done. Selflessly left heaven and gave up his life. And you think, oh yeah, but he rose from the dead. Jesus, the Son of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Son of God, had never, ever, ever experienced separation from the Father as you have never felt separation from the Father. But the Bible says one day that'll happen in eternity, and uses the term a fiery hell. And it would be like that because totally separated from God the Father, none of us have experienced that yet. But Jesus came, and as he hung on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Separated from the Father the first time. So that you will never have to be separated from the Father. So we hold the emblems of his body that was broken and his blood that was shed. As he served us, may we become part of the body of Christ and serve one another. Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus. I thank you that he was broken so that we could be put back together. I thank you that he took the bruises so that we could be made whole. Especially in eternity. Thank you for his body that was broken. Let's eat together. Thank you for the blood, Lord. The blood that was shed on Calvary. That washes us and cleanses us. And oh God, that makes us white as snow. And then in all of our weaknesses and all of our sins and our failures, you see white as snow because of the blood. Thank you, Lord. Let's drink together. Let's go ahead and stand. Father, today as we go, by your Holy Spirit, may the words that have been spoken, may it go with us. And if it needs to prick our hearts, oh God, may it prick our hearts. If it needs to encourage us to continue on, may it encourage us. But Father, may your will be done in our lives as we learn to serve. And to give of ourselves. Lord, your blessing today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Love one another as you go today.